What's up, everybody? It's good to see everybody. Man, you guys have no idea how much I have prayed to make this happen, to get us all in person again. I don't know if you really realize how important it is to be in person, one-on-one, face-to-face. It's very intimate. And so I'm super happy tonight that we're all here. I think we're going to be doing this every couple of years. That's what I think. At least that's what I've been told. Could change. Brian and Dan, they're the bosses of the fellowship, so they may say different, but I'm hoping that that's the case. Would be in California, right, Brian? Yeah. Couple years? Man, that'll be awesome, won't it? How many's happy? I know the storms made it tough, but you're here. You're here. You made it. Well, guess what? You're going to make the trip in God, too. You're going to make it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. How many would be? Brian wants to know how many would be interested in doing this again 2 years from now in California. Well, there you go, B. We got a good, pretty much unanimous. Was there anybody that didn't raise their hand? Let me see who you are. Destiny? Oh, my God. Pastor Dan, you got to deal with Destiny. She didn't raise her hand. It's your destiny. She just said no, bro. She disagreed with you completely. We're going to have a prayer line when this is done. You're going to be first in line. She gave me a thumbs up. So we're so happy. I want to say greetings to all of the pastors and the angels of the churches of Jesus Christ that are present among us. Aren't you happy for what Keith spoke to us tonight? Man, that's good. Let's go to the book of Luke. Now, I may have Megan read some things. I'm not sure. She says, sometimes I call on her and then I leave her hanging. I know. You didn't let me finish. But it's true. Sometimes I get to moving and I just forget stuff. But we're super happy to be here. Now, look, I promise, no more than 3 hours tonight. I promise you that. I guarantee you. Brian was hoping for 25 minutes. It's not going to happen. But Luke 4, verse 18. Now, this is after Jesus has come out of the wilderness. He's returned in the power of the Spirit. He was tempted for 40 days by Satan himself. He's about to enter into his ministry. And what we're going to do, Lord willing, we're going to tie some things together tonight, specific to possibly the book of Revelation. We're going to be hitting it and getting it. Okay, we're not going to be teaching this. We're not going to be able to put everything in what you might think is a chronological order. I'm not even concerned about any of that. We got good teachers among us. So I'm not slowing down for any of that. So we're going to do the best we can and put it out here. But I want to start in this chapter. Jesus takes the podium, opens the book of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and every eye in the building was on him. I think that's good, that every eye is on the Lord. Amen? Now, Jesus from that time forth is sent by his Father to fulfill some very special things. The year of the Lord, what is that? Anybody know what the year of the Lord is? The day of Jubilee. In the Old Testament, going back to Leviticus, anybody read Leviticus lately? I know it's one of our favorite books, isn't it? You know what Leviticus is in a nutshell? It's the thought of God. It's very simple how he divides clean and unclean thought. That's it in a nutshell. You say, no, no, no. It's the most tedious thing I've ever read. I couldn't even get through it. Well, God's meticulous, man. But he put 7 feasts in ordinance to the people of Israel. Now, somebody, I think it was Brad. Brad came to me the other day and said, my God, I went and looked at those feasts you were talking about. And he said, man, the things that required, that God required of his people, it was just overload to the mind. Well, don't worry. We're not going to go through all that. But there were 7 feasts. And they were very powerful. I'm going to show you tonight, Lord willing, how they were all culminated in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the embodiment of Almighty God. Everything that God did started in Jesus Christ. If you're baptized, Micah, into Jesus, then you become part of that Godhead. You become part of that embodiment. What does that mean? What does that mean for our ministry team? That means that even in this life, whether you're a teacher, preacher, minister of the gospel, whatever facet, government, helps, diversities of gifts and so forth, it really doesn't matter. If you're in ministry, and we've got quite a bit of ministry now. It's amazing to see that. Quite a bit of ministry in these 4 churches. And beyond. I mean, Indiana in the making. If they stay faithful to God, we could have a 5th church. Who's to say? Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be pretty cool, huh? But we got a lot of ministry. And if no matter where you're at in the body, we're talking about being in the body of Jesus Christ. So you're fulfilling the destiny of God that he first made expressed in his son, Jesus Christ. When you look at the 7 feasts, there was Passover. We taught recently in the ministry group about that Passover. Jesus prepared a dinner, had a dinner prepared as he sat for the last time with his disciples to have the Passover feast, to celebrate Passover. He said, with great desire have I desired to have this meal with you, to celebrate this Passover. What's the Passover? Anybody know? We're going to try to move through these quickly.
When the angel of the Lord passed over the house of Israel.
Right. Dave, you remember? When we came out to Boise, and actually it was you, PK, and myself. Man, that was awesome, bro. We had a great time out there, didn't we? You had a communion at your church. While we were preaching, we went into a vision. This was back in the time when there was a thought of the enemy, I'm gonna take Dave out. I'm gonna take Dave completely out. It was never actually gonna happen, bro. You know that, right? God was never going to let that happen. We know that by witness in the Holy Ghost, mind you. But we're sitting there in the preaching, going to a vision, and we see the angel of the Lord. Some may call him the angel of death, but he's actually the angel of life. And he comes to the house, and why did he pass over it, bro? Megan just said it. He passed over it because there was blood on the lintel of the post of the door. The covering of the door, the sides of the door, God. Very meticulous. He's very specific as what is required. And when that angel said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over and there'll be no death that takes place. That's when he brought the last plague of the death of the firstborn. Remember that? Just a little history in the Old Testament here. I actually am very specific in old and new. I put it all in one man. Old Testament, New Testament, the beginning of God, starting with Genesis all the way to Revelation, is in Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. And so will it be in you. And wherever God starts with that in you is perfectly fine. Don't think of it in a particular order, like I got to start in Genesis 1 and work my way all the way to Revelation. Depending on where you're at in prophecy, God may start at a different place for you. He may actually be picking up where he left off. You never know. But we saw the angel of the Lord pass over. So who is our Passover? Jesus is our Passover. Isn't he the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world? In Revelation 5, the angel's taking John, the apostle, on a tour of heaven. And they're standing there and they're looking at the whole situation. And there was no one that could open up this book with 7 seals. John begins to weep, and the angel says, don't weep. The line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed and has opened up the seals. Jesus is the one that opened those seals, but he's also the one that was that living sacrifice destined and ordained by God. So when Jesus is in this upper room, he's preparing his disciples. I'm about to die. And he breaks bread with them. He gives them the cup of his blood. He had told them once upon a time, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part with me. He's talking about his death. He tells them, you're going to eat, but I'm not going to eat. You're going to drink, but I'm not going to drink. I won't drink again with you until we are in my kingdom. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying here. Sometimes we don't see past the veil Keith was talking about. Sometimes we don't see what God hath prepared for us. Paul said it's not entered into the heart of man what great things God hath prepared for us. If you could see past that veil tonight and see what some of us have witnessed, what Jesus Christ himself has prepared for us, I'm telling you right now, there's not a single battle. Listen, if we went around this room, we could go through horror stories, war stories, of what we went through, huh, PK, to get to where we're at right here. Horror stories. We've been under some evil, wicked men, bro. And women, for that matter. We've been under some very evil things. Did God keep us? Did God protect us? You say, well, I made some mistakes along the way. Amen. We made a lot of mistakes. But God, the angel of the Lord, passed over our sins because of his blood. And that's why we're here today. He is our Passover. Then you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What's leaven? What did Jesus say? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is a representation of sin. Now, you may not know what I'm doing here, but what I'm actually doing is showing you a spiritual history of our church. We just got done celebrating, well, it was up here. We got done celebrating 50 years in this realm. And every single pastor and church that is represented here tonight came as part of that history. That's amazing. I've said it for a very long time. For us to all have been born, outside of like Dan and myself, I think the rest, all born in different places. We were both born in Florida. Rick was born in Tennessee. PK was born in New York. Brian was born in California. Keith was born in Illinois. Dave was born in Washington. I didn't learn that till last year. Thought he was a Boise guy, true and true. That's not true. He's not blue as you think he is. He came from Washington. But he's Boise now, right?
And blue through.
And blue through. I know, right. Even though they can't win a title. But anyway. Neither can the Florida Gators. But anyway. We were all in different places. How does God bring all that together, bro? Divine providence for sure. I'm telling you, it's no light thing. But you look at the things we went through. Back in religion, I'll never forget the first time Rick told me, he said, Gary, you were in Adam when you were back in religion at 5 years old, bro. That was ordained of God. I had no idea, PK. I had no idea. I didn't know. I grew up all my life in religion, never knowing that the story of Adam was in me. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was even an inner man until I was out here on the front steps. I had moved to Chicago. I was walking down the front steps. I go into a vision. God shows me the inner man. Blew my mind. Your whole life, you're preaching and following after God, and you don't even realize this whole narrative, this whole story of God is in you. The innocence that existed at that time as a young boy, as a young child, growing up in Sunday school, loving the Old Testament stories. Is it okay if I just tell you a little bit of history here? Growing up in church, loving Old Testament stories, had a woman named Joanne Carr that used to preach. She would tell the Old Testament stories in Sunday school. I hear these Sunday school teachers tell me sometimes, I'm not really sure what to teach these kids. You know what my answer is? tell them the stories, man. Just keep it simple. You don't have to be theological. Just tell them the stories, because that's what I remember. I remember the stories. And so I'm coming up through the stories. You know what defiled that? Leaven. Men. Men with egos. Men that wanted to be seen. Men that wanted to be worshipped. Wicked, evil men defiled it. That's what happened. We've been through that. This church has been through the leaven. We've been through a death. Are you hearing me? I'm going to show you how God's brought us through these feasts, whether we know it or not. And there might be some yet to come. But Jesus was very clear. I must needs go to Jerusalem and die. Peter said, not so, Lord. What did Jesus turn and say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That is the story of our life being raised in religion. We begin to know the things of men. When we finally were called by God to Chicago, God had a plan. What was that plan? God raised up a man named Rick Rush, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he began to expound to us the things that be of God. And we went through a death. We went through a burial, a partaking with Jesus, because the leaven was being removed, Dave. That's what God was doing. And we were being buried with him in his baptism. Well, you know what comes after baptism. You know what comes after death. You know what comes after the burial. Jesus said, you go ahead, tear this temple down. In 3 days, I will raise it up. How did the Lord know that? How did the Lord know that even though we were in lies and deceptions and delusions, that there was an intent, Brian, buried deep inside of you that God knew about? That God said, I'm going to raise that up one day. Doesn't matter what they've been through. Doesn't matter the lies and the delusion and the deceptions of men. I see myself in that man right there named Dan Ellis. I see myself, God said. And I remember myself. I remember what I am in him, what I said to him in the beginning, what I told him. I explained to him, Dan told a dream about this one time where he would see certain things when he came into this life. One of them was the glory of man. Imagine God looking at one of his sons. And at that time, Micah, he was encumbered with the glory of man. God could see past the veil. God could see past the death and the sin and the lies and the delusion. And see the intent of God working in prophecy. You know what he could really see? He could see his son. That's what God could see. And over a period of time, God brought us into that death. God brought us into that partaking and began to bring judgment all the way through the book of Revelation. My God, man, you see some amazing judgments. The seven trumpets of God proclaiming the coming judgment of the Lord. You see the bowls of wrath where God pours out his great wrath against his enemies. And by the time God gets done, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but God has a plan to restore unto us everything that has been lost. And I'm here to tell you tonight, no matter where you come from, what your background is, I see you in prophecy. I don't judge you according to the flesh. I don't judge you according to your background. Some of us were raised in religion, some of us not. But depending on where you were at in religion, in prophecy is how God judged you. Some of us, like that guy right there, Brian Herring, wasn't raised in religion. But for such a time as this, just like the Apostle Paul, God said, I have a great need, and I got to bring this guy on the scene. And he did. And man, am I thankful he did, man. Brian's been an awesome gift to us. But that was ordained of God. God did that. So don't think that I'm giving you credentials so that you can wave your hand and say, well, I've been the longest in religion, so I should have the greatest anointing. Doesn't quite work that way, does it? So God had to deal with this leaven. Let me say one last thing before I move on. Some of us got the revelation of the man of sin, and instead of us embracing it and being thankful for it and letting it take us into a death so that by prophecy we could attain unto a resurrection, we hid ourselves. We hid ourselves. And we didn't let God talk to us about that leaven and that sin. But let me just square this away. It's not too late, is it? Some have told me even recently, Gary, I didn't realize that when God attempted to reveal the man of sin to me, the leaven that was in my heart, that it was a partaking with the death and burial of Jesus Christ. I misperceived it. I didn't understand it. So I didn't embrace it. I'm telling you now that you have to die to self. Jesus said it best. You got to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. That's what Jesus said. When you look at all the changes, Dan mentioned this on Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, about all the changes people have said over the years. Why you guys got changed so much? My God, man. You've had four names. You done changed 100 times. Every time we think that we've got to a truth, you want to change and go to something different. No. No. We go to something greater. We go to a greater glory. That's what death does for you. Death to self, letting God heal everything that worked in iniquity and wickedness and lies and all of those false things allows us to come to a place where we're walking not in false humility, but true humility, and we're letting God talk to us. And if we let God talk to us, it's not going to be a shame or a condemnation or a countenance fall. It's going to be a revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus Christ himself said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. So is there anything to fear in death? No, 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 no. That's why Abraham could take that boy up the mountain, Dave, with no fear, because he knew even if he had to go through with that sacrifice, his God could raise him from the dead. And he proved himself because, boy, he lifted that knife, and if the angel of the Lord had not stepped in, he would have slayed his son. But the angel came just in time. And man, we had an angel of the Lord sent to us that came just in time. Because some of us got to our wits' end with this whole thing. You can know the depths of Satan, and God has to do some really special things to bring you out of those things. It does not have to always go that way. What's our third festival? The festival of first fruits? Who is the first fruits of God? Did the scripture say he's the firstborn among many brethren? So wait a minute. Hold on. We were talking about this at the table today. Dan was. It was really awesome. Jesus isn't the only one. I got accused one time of being a Jesus only preacher. You a Jesus only preacher, man. That's wicked. That's not. You're supposed to preach God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost of heaven. You didn't read your Bible where Jesus Christ is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the whole host of heaven. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the express image of his person. That means Michael, who is like God. That means Gabriel, a man of God. That means Paul. That means Peter. That means John. That means all of them. So there's no carnality working here. Whatever the man, whatever the sin, whatever the name, it all came from God who birth it in Christ. And Christ being the first one, we have now seen others come forth because of him. He being the first fruits of the resurrection in God, we're now watching the anointing of Jesus Christ work in multiple sent men of God full of the Holy Ghost. And I got news for you. And I'm going to say this as plainly as I can. And I'm sorry, because I meant to have my wife up here to greet everybody. She was dying to preach to you guys. And I know she's over there right now super disappointed that I didn't let that happen. I apologize. But our women, our elders' wives, where are you elders' wives at? Raise your hands. Full of the Holy Ghost, what Brian calls the week of Pentecost, which is our next feast, by the way. Full of the Holy Ghost 2 or 3 years back, and rush, got a word from the Lord. How many years did you spend in captivity, Ann? Many years. Many, many years. And yet, what did Jesus say? I come to deliver the captives from their captivity. Jesus did that for you. God did that for you. Actually, Christy Heron was the one that taught the message back in Chronicles, right, Christy? If you humble yourself, how's that go? You humble yourself. Called by my name will humble themselves, seek and pray, right? A little fasting in there. Some devils don't come out, but by much prayer and fasting, right? And that word of God quickened you and healed you. And our good friend, Pastor Rick, got to see that great deliverance before he died. Man, I was so happy for him. I know these other men were too. But it stirred my heart to see that great happen. I went into a vision. I don't know if I ever told you, but I saw your hands were shackled. And I saw the Spirit of Jesus come down and those shackles just, boom, fell right from your hands. You were free. You were free. All of our ladies is parables of the mothers and women of God in our churches have been called to be partakers now with us. Once upon a time, it was not so. Once upon a time, it was just the men. Let's be real. Everybody good? I think I can say and get away with it. But I'm just telling you right now, it was just a men's club. And God was like, oh, we got to change this. We got to bring these women in. The female aspect, bro. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, there is no greater joy to know. You say, well, I don't hear a lot from them. I don't see a lot from them. Where's the evidence? You mind your business. You mind your business. God's got all that covered. What did Rick prophesy to you? That you would speak in this lifetime? It's going to come to pass. What did he prophesy to you, Christy? Here, I want to get this on the mic.
That the heavens would be open and that I would be take word from heaven up and ascend it from the heaven to the earth.
You see how she grabbed that mic from me? She ain't shy. Open the windows of heaven and ascending and descending. I do believe that was angelic stuff that you read in the scriptures. So you mean you're part of this man of God's angel? Oh boy. Are you part of my angel? Are you part of this man's angel? Where's the rest of them? Connie, you part of this man's angel? Naomi? Michelle? Did I miss anybody? I'm going to tell you right now, more to come. More to come. Not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I'm just telling you, in remembrance, God's going to do some really good things there. Some of you ladies have some exciting things to look forward to. Have you ever questioned? I've heard this and seen this, maybe even had dreams and visions of it. In prophecy, to see a thing, to have it actually drop in and work in your consciousness and become it is another thing. I like to use Dan as the example. If Dan don't mind, he had a vision back at one of the pastor's conferences where he went right into a vision. This was, gosh, years ago, like 10 plus years ago, bro. Saw Michael cast out the dragon out of heaven. Bro, had you at that time come to the fullness of all that, or did you come to that over the next several years? So you can see a thing in prophecy, and it's true. It's true in God. But sometimes there's some things we got to come to. Is it possible that there are things that try to hinder us from coming to those things in God? Is it possible that over the years there's been some things, some lies, some encumbrances, some hindrances, some obstacles, some trials, some persecution, some accusation, whatever the case may be? Rick called it a limp. I was sitting right here. Rick was sitting right there. And he said, there's a limp, bro. There's a limp. But God's going to heal that limp. Now, that limp represents his words, not mine, but that limp represents whatever it is that has hindered you. Is that the leaven being leavened out? So you got to die to self, because that limp works in the self. It works in the self. It works in the part of you that works in opposition to God. You say, I ain't got no opposition to God. Ooh. We've been in your temple, so we know that opposition. We know it. That's how good God is. But when you come to that death, you might have to go. Brian and I were talking about Jonah the other day. What time is it? Look, gosh, 3 hours is a long time. I ain't preaching 3 hours. Y'all can forget that. Just relax. Everybody just chill out. Dan did say, if I preach an hour, I got to take a 5-minute break and then come back. Because I'll need that bathroom break too. Because we're old now. We're not young anymore. It's reality. What was I saying? Huh? Jonah. We were talking about Jonah. How many days was Jonah in the belly of the well? 3 days, Christy. 3 days. You ever been in the belly of the well? You ever been there? You ever been a Jonah? Or have you just not partaken of the story of God, people? What's going on here? Some of you have, you don't even realize it. Some of you have dreamed some of these dreams, you don't even remember them. Too distracted with things in life. I said it. Can't take it back, not going to take it back. More interested in tick-tock, 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 tick-tock than you are the voice of God. You don't hear from God with distractions. You got to go deep in meditation sometimes to hear what God has to say to you. That's the truth. You got to clear it all away and let God talk to you. What are we after? In this lifetime, God has already made multiple changes. We've literally changed from day to day. Didn't some of us go from Adam to the seventh day? You see what I'm saying? Some may be in the first day. Some not even realizing that right now the word of God to you is a light from heaven dividing, with the intent to divide light from darkness. But because you're hearing the preaching from men of God that have went through those days and are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from that seventh day or beyond, they're sowing into you the thing you will be. And that's important to know. You're not all in the same place. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ has an intent to get you there. You say, well, I could never be like Dan. I could never be like Brian. I could never be like these other men of God. What are you doing? That's not true. You might not catch up to them in this lifetime, but I'm telling you right now, in the eternities of God, you are called to go exactly where they have been and are going. God's not going to leave anybody else out that follows him. Every church here is going to eventually come into all of the things that God has designed. So when you come into these resurrections, you get a guy like Jonah. Sometimes when you're running from God, God has to intervene. First time I moved to Chicago, I had two dreams back to back, two nights in a row that I was in the prophet Jonah. I was Jonah. I'm just telling you, there's no other way to say it. I was the prophet Jonah, and I'm tied to a post on a ship. One of the realest dreams I've ever had. I could feel the rain on my face. I could feel the rocking of the boat in the sea. And there's a group of men in a circle, and they're having a discussion about me. Because I had told them, the only way you're going to save yourselves is to boot me over. I was running from God. God was letting me partake of that story. And I looked over, and in my dream, it was a Leviathan, a big old water serpent, huge water serpent. And it was scary. And off I go. And I thought one dream was enough, but no, I go back to bed, and the second night I dream that dream all over again. Why? What's the purpose of that? God had plans. God had need. No matter what you go through, he's going to work on those things of death that work in you. There's a man of sin that works in you. Some of you haven't even come to the revelation of the man of sin. But don't worry. God's got fathers now among you that will watch over you, care for you, lead you, guide you, teach you, instruct you. How did Paul say that? Yeah, many teachers, but not very many fathers. Men of God full of the Holy Ghost that have witness in God, that not only know you according to this flesh, but they know you from your beginning in God. And what is it? What is it to go into a temple and see a matter of weakness? Is that a breaker? Or does the patience of the Lord see that thing that's working in that temple, just like he did back in the day of Ezekiel? All those idolatries and different things that worked in the house of God, in the temple of God itself. All that false prophecy. And yet God's word stood the test of time. And God said, this may be the case now, but by the time I'm done, I'm going to purge all of that out. I look back sometimes at all the religion and the lies and the wickedness of men. I look at the captivity it put us in. I look at the drop of the countenance that it put us in, all of the fear that it put us in. And I look back at that sometimes, at the massive captivity that worked in us. But I look at it now and I go, my God, look at what the Lord has done. God knew at 5, 10, 15, 20 years old exactly what he was going to do. He knew when you were in religion, Claudette, and all that hurt came, and all those lies came, and all that control came. He knew, before I get done, I'm going to set my daughter free. She's not going to be held by captivity anymore. Because I'm going to visit her upon the appointed time, and I'm going to bring her out of death and out of the grave. Some of you out of hell, some of you out of Sheol, some of you out of the pit itself. How'd you see that? Big old muscular black dude come up to the pit. You're down there in the pit, can't get out. And then the first time you met Rick, Rick's like, I know you. I seen you in the pit. Why? Rick ain't no black man. Why do you have to be a black man in your dream? Because that's just where the thought was. God had to put it into a parable for you. But what was it really, bro? It was the angel of the Lord. And at the appointed time, God sent his angel to pull you out of that pit. And you're with us to this day because of what God did. And there's great things yet to come. So it doesn't matter the death. God is a God of the living. He's a God of resurrection. So when God raised his son from the dead, did that include you? Or no? You guys tired already? Is that it? I get 20 minutes? 26, Brian said. He's tracking. 40. I've been preaching 46 minutes? Or are you saying I got 46 minutes? Oh, okay. Well, good. I feel better now. That's hilarious. Brian is meticulous. Make no mistake about it. So we come to a resurrection. And then God brings us to the day of Pentecost. We're quickened now. How many have ever had a quickening? Tim, you've had some quickenings as of late. You know what quickenings lead to? Resurrection, bro. Quickenings actually are resurrection. But sometimes you gotta stay with it. You gotta stay with the quickenings a little bit until that full-blown resurrection of Jesus Christ comes alive in you. And then God says to you, go tarry now at Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. What did you ladies get told at the week of Pentecost in Boise? What were you told, Don? That you received the Holy Ghost. Is that true? 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 You say, well, hold on now, hold on now. I'm looking for the fruit. I'm looking for the evidence. Why can't I cast out devils? What's going on here? Remember what I said about prophecy. God starts it in prophecy, and as you submit to it, Don Marie, what's he do for you? He brings you to the full understanding of it and teaches you how to walk in that resurrection. He teaches you how to walk in that outpouring or infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what God's done among us. God's brought our church to a resurrection. Now, you know, when I say church, I'm talking about the fellowship. I understand order. I get it. I know there's rank and order and Chicago came first. I get all that. But I'm telling you right now, I'm talking about the living fellowship entity. This is what God's done for us. So we come to a resurrection. Jesus then, filling his apostles with the Holy Ghost, one of the greatest days of my life. I was out in the front yard working on a project when God interrupted me and caught me up into the heavens, and I witnessed Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost, tongues of fire, the whole nine yards, and it blew my mind at that time. I was like, my God, man, this was not earthly at all. This was heavenly. But where did the effect take place? Where did they begin to immediately go forth and preach? In the earth. Peter, standing up among the 11, begin to preach Jesus. So was he technically the first among them to come into those things? Let's say it this way. He for sure was the example God used. Peter was the example that God used to tell his story. Would it blow your mind or shock you or just make you afraid for me to say that we've had men of God partake of the Apostle Peter among us? What about Paul? Would that shock you? No. Listen to me, guys. These apostles of Jesus Christ are alive and well in the consciousness of the men of God that the Lord has set before us. That's a good thing for you. So we come to the resurrection, and what immediately begins to take place? We enter into a church age. We enter into a gathering. We enter into an apostolic send of God. Man, churches are coming up everywhere. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached. And now, just like they did to Jesus, because Jesus had told them, God's going to restore unto me the glory I had with him in the beginning, and that same glory I'm giving it unto you, and I'm sending you forth. I'm not praying that God deliver you from the world. I'm praying God the Father keeps you in it. You got the same power I got. You got the same authority that I have. Greater works shall you do. Now go forth. Everything preached in my name. No greater name under heaven. So they began to go forth. Were they persecuted? Were some of them thrown in prison? Beaten? Some of them stoned? We got a couple guys here that have had dreams of Stephen. Being in Stephen as he was stoned and the heavens were opened up. I mean, we got some witness among us, guys. Some amazing witness. Philip turning an entire city upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then called upon the apostles in Antioch to come down and lay hands on them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. While yet a man named Simon, full of devils, tried to work sorcery against them. Guess how that went? He made himself a great one in the eyes of the people, but no sorcery, no devil has any power against a true apostle sent by God. That's when it stops. Takes a little time to get there. But now we got the church age, and we are literally witnessing the works of God in this church age. Apostolic age. The anointing of the Holy. I don't know if you guys truly understand. We are not in the religion that held us captive for most of our lifetime. We are free. We got men of God that love us, that teach us, that guide us, that lay their lives down. That's not what we experienced in religion, man. They were benefactors. They were lords over God's heritage. We don't have that anymore. That got removed. Oh, man, I want to preach now. That's no different than Revelation 20, man, when the angel, a strong angel of God, I'm going to tell you, came down with a chain in his hand and bound that serpent, the ancient one, that dragon, that devil, and cast him into a pit for 1,000 years, PK. If you get to know God well enough, you'll get to find out who that angel is. Those are the kinds of things that are just not prophecy in that sense anymore. I want to be very clear, it's prophecy, but sometimes we look at prophecy as we did in religion, as something yet to come. But what if God takes you back into that which was, or shows you that which is, or shows you that which is to come? It'd all be prophecy, wouldn't it? But what if I tell you that those things have actually happened in God among us? That's not something to come now. That's actually happened. These kinds of things have actually happened. Then you watch as the apostles of God gather. They gather, they gather, they gather, they gather, they gather. And those angels, Christy, that ascend and descend, guess what they're doing now? They're taking baskets, baskets, baskets full of sheaves that were gathered by the apostles, and they're taking the reaping of that harvest back to God's storehouse. So the apostle and the angel works hand in hand. In actuality, I could tell you they're one and the same. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, what are you doing, man? They ain't no angels in the terrestrial realm. They only appeared by vision. I'm telling you, the mind, the consciousness, the spirit, the will, all of it, of that apostle is working in the mind of that angelic being in that heavenly place. So whether it's Paul in the earth or it's Michael in the heaven, they're one. Not divided anymore. So we go through the church age. And we walk. It's what God does, what God is doing. And then we get a word from the Lord. If I get to an hour, somebody stop me. Serious. Because I got 3 more feasts to go. You didn't fly out here for nothing. Or do you want me to do a cliffhanger? It's getting hot in here. This brings back memories. Back in Pentecost, we had to take off those heavy wool jackets, PK. Suits. The church age. I told you, we can't teach it. We just can't. We're not trying to. We're just exhorting a little bit here. So we're going to leave a lot of details out. You're just going to have to either go read your Bible or listen to the rest of these guys as they preach. And they may fill in the blanks. Who knows? But we go through the church age. About, I want to say a year and a half or so ago, I'm in a dream. The Lord appears to me and he says, you tell him, man, I think about this, how sobering this visitation was. And he's like, you tell him he's not smiling, he's not laughing, he's somewhat kind of stern, Tim. And he says, you go tell them, I am coming again. Make yourself ready. He tells me twice. He said, you tell them, I'm coming. How many of us still believe that there's a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking out here in the clouds for him? For a rapture? Or as Rick would say, a rupture? You're going to get a crick in your neck looking up. When's he coming? When's he coming? Where's he at? No, where does he come? He comes in here. You go to Revelation, you see this man sitting on a cloud with a sickle in his hand, and he thrusts it into the fields and he reaps the harvest. And in the dream, I'm watching all these ladies, all these women, these virgin women. They are just beautiful, holy, clean women of God, full of baskets, and they're gathering the harvest. Men, they're gathering the harvest. You ladies, listen to me. They're gathering the harvest in these baskets. They're servants of the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, the fields are white and ready for harvest. Then that trumpet begins to sound. Paul said, then that the last trump. There is a festival or a feast of trumpets. We're not going to go through any of that tonight, but we are going to tell you that all those trumpets, as they sound off, as the word of the Lord is fulfilled and God lets those angels blow those trumpets, is a last trump. And you know what happens at that last trump, Don? Have you read it? What happens? Who knows what happens at the last trump? You're quoting Corinthians 15. Who knows what it says in Revelation 19? Nobody? I feel like a bobblehead. Nobody knows? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord in Christ. What are we talking about? We go through all of this death. We go through all of this captivity. There's so many examples. We go through all of this history. And the entire time there's been prophetic utterance about the coming of this great king. And at the end of the day, what do we get to witness, Steve? Prophecy fulfilled. God sends that proclamation of all those woes, all those testaments against sin and evil and all the kings of the earth, everything that's ever been wicked in God. And at that last trump, God brings back the true king. And all that the enemy took away. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? What was the last temptation? What was the thing that Satan offered the Lord? All the glories of the kingdom of the world? Have you ever seen that? Anyone ever had a witness of that? Oh, it was glorious. You ever had that kind of a temptation? We like to think, oh yeah, we'd pass that with flying colors, but have we? You don't pass it, Ernest, until you're in the consciousness of that son that did. And then it's a breeze, bro. Then it's a breeze. But at that trumpet, and I think that festival, if I remember, lasts 7 days. No coincidence. A lot of sevens in the book of Revelation. Seven churches, seven angels, seven spirits of God, seven mounts that horse sits upon, seven trumpets, seven bowls, seven all kinds of sevens. But when God gets done, what's he do? He keeps every word, every tittle, every jot of everything he's ever said would be. And he brings it all to pass. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you talk about a celebration when you hear that last trump and all those judgments are proclamated, and at the end of it all, the kingdom of God comes forth. And then we sit at a marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember what I said about Jesus? He said, we're not going to do this again until we're sitting together in my kingdom, at my table. That's your marriage supper of the Lamb, folks. Where Jesus Christ sits with us. He said, you'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of you just this week have imagined sitting at a table of God with Abraham and having dinner with Abraham? Imagine the stories at that table. Imagine if you sat down with Dan and Brian, even in this life, and talked about the history. Imagine sitting down with PK and talk about the history, bro. You were telling me about that today. The history of where you've come from, the persecution, the lies, all of it. But now the Lord's come. Now the truth has come. Now the word of God has come. It's like Paul says, it's not that we've attained unto all things, but I'm going to tell you something, man. We have attained unto some things. That's a fact. So you sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and what comes next? What comes next after that? The Day of Atonement? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, when God sets the hook in that wicked one's jaw and gathers them to the great feast, his great feast, he said, the Valley of Megiddo. It says that the blood's going to be at the bridle of the horse's mouth. And it was 7 months it took them, PK, to take care of all the bodies of the dead. That's how many were slain in that great battle. That's when the Lord comes from heaven on a white horse. His vesture's dipped in blood. The word of God is written upon him. A sword is proceeding out of his mouth. The armies of God are with him. If you've ever seen it, it's kind of like that little prophet boy. I don't remember his name, but I think he was with Elijah, maybe Elisha. Remember that? The armies of the enemy had gathered against the people of God, and the young servant to the prophet said, my God, what are we going to do? And the prophet's like, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what I see. He looks up to heaven, he sees all the armies of God, all the chariots of the Lord, and he's like, greater are those with us than those that are against us. Do we really realize how much God has done for us and is doing for us? We see in the book of Revelation when God gets done with this great battle, we enter into the seventh day, PK. There's a first resurrection. And he gives elders of God a throne and gives them judgment. He told them that last supper, you're going to sit and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In that seventh day, Believe it or not, if you remember, that's exactly what Rick Rush preached when he ordained the seven elders. He prophesied Revelation 20. How long did it take for some of us to come into that? I can say for myself, it took me a minute. Why? Because sometimes you just got some stubborn thought in you. Where's Julie Smith? You know a little something about that stubbornness in that angel, don't you? You about done with all that?
Submitting.
Ooh, I like that. Then we sit with the Lord for 1,000 years and we rest in God. That rest isn't always what you think it is, but at the end of that 1,000 years, what happens? God gives the command, you loose that joker for a season. What's he do? The same thing a devil always does. I'm actually almost done, guys. Just hang with me. He goes out and gets the nations. You go read, what is it? Ezekiel 37, 38, somewhere around in there. It's part two. And he goes and gathers Gog and Magog, the prince, Gog. And he gathers all of Magog and they come up against the Lord. And that devil tells one last lie. This time, we're going to take them out. You know how many times the devil has said that about us? Anybody? You know how many times, PK, he has said, this time I'm going to take him out. Claudette, you know how many times he said, this time I'm going to take her out. Don, you know how many times the devil said, even this last year, this time I'm going to take her out. And then what happens? They don't even get a shot this time. God opens up the windows of heaven and outpours hellfire, man, and burns them all up. And now Satan, the great enemy of God, the dragon himself, is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet already are. The smoke of the whore is still going up to the heavens. It's all been destroyed. And now Satan is in the lake of fire. And what's God do? Takes us from that day into the revelatory day of atonement where the books of God are opened and the dead are judged. The sea gives up the dead and so forth. All of the dead are now before the great white throne judgment. You talk about a removal of leaven. This is the final purging. What did Paul say? What was the last enemy that was going to be destroyed? This is that. And you say, well, Gary, now you're saying that God's done these things in our church. I'm telling you that there are churches among us. This guy right here is one of them. I actually saw one time, Brian, you remember when I saw seven churches around you, bro? God brought that to pass. Believe it or not, it was brought to pass. I didn't even know really what I was doing, but God did. Four, say it again, bro.
At the time when you prophesied it to me, and we were in Pentecost, I had established, you said, by prophecy, four churches, and there are three still to go.
Woo! And you knew that when? Then, or you came to it? How did you come to that?
You said it, but I didn't know that. I was looking at churches here. I was going to establish.
Oh, I said that four were already. I got you. See, I got to be brought into remembrance on some of that, because that was a long time ago. But God knew that. God knew that. Now, at the time, what was one of the first thoughts, bro? We kind of thought physical churches, right? That's not what God was dealing with at all, was he? Seven churches, bro. There are men of God among us that have went through the seven churches in the book of Revelation, Dave. That's what they've done. They've come through those churches. Now, I realize there's some things here not understood. I get it. We're working the Spirit and sowing by prophecy. Does that make sense? I remember a man of God one time was sowing some things, and I didn't understand a thing he was saying. But he still sowed them. But ask me now if they're understood. understood, and then more coming. But now we're watching God go from that seventh day into what? The Feast of Tabernacles. When you go into the 21st chapter, what do we got? A new heaven and a new earth where God says, I will now dwell with my people. My God, man. The Feast of Tabernacles back in the day for Israel was where they'd make temporary booths, Keith, and they would celebrate being brought out of Egypt. Now, in the 21st chapter, God's created that tabernacle that's no longer a shadow. It's a glorious place where God alone dwells, and he's brought us into it now. You know, it's amazing. I may not get all this right, but I'll try. But you go through what Keith talked about in that tent of meeting. That Holy of Holies was a 10 by 10 by 10. I think it's 100 cubic square feet. That's how big the room was. Now, if you don't know anything about that tabernacle, when you went in, you were in. You talk about being a little claustrophobic. You're in and it's covered in everything. Everything's gold. Everything is gold. And it's pitch black dark. Imagine that. Don's like, do not sign me up for high priest duty. Don't worry, we got that covered. You just stay with me. So we go into the tent of meeting, bro, and that's after passing through the altar, the inner, and so forth, lighting the seven candlesticks, making sure oil is there at all times and the fire never goes out, eating the bread that only the priest could eat, everything, a parable of Jesus, bro. And then going into the Holy of Holies. Go forward a few hundred years, and now you're in the temple Solomon built. And he doubled it, bro. It's a double portion. It's a 20 by 20 by 20. It's an 8,000 cubic increase. But then jump to the New Jerusalem. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. It's an explosion of increase, bro. The others pale in comparison now. That's where we're going, guys. Do you hear me? You men of God, listen to me. Some of you are already experiencing some of these things, but some of you, you're on the cuff. You hear me, Dave? You're on the cuff, bro. We got to let God do this. Because it's bigger than anything we ever imagined. Imagine tabernacling with God for the rest of eternity. Let me close with this. You say, where's the year of Jubilee in this? Well, they had seven feasts a year. Every seventh year of seven feasts was called a sabbatical year. Keith knows this a lot better than I do. Probably teach it a heck of a lot better. But every seventh year was a sabbatical Sabbath where they weren't allowed to sow, that God would give the increase, right? Then you do seven times seven, you got 49 years of this. 49 years with seven cycles. And at the end of the 49th year, you know what God said? This is my 50th year, and in this year, coincidence or what, that we're celebrating 50 years? That God would talk to me about this. In the 50th year, all your debts, Dave, are canceled. Everything. Slavery, not in the context you may think. If let's say, can I use you, Tim? Let's say, you don't have to get up. It's okay, I appreciate it. But let's just say that Tim owes you a debt. He comes to hard times. He has to sell himself to you to pay off his debt. In the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, he was released. No matter whether the debt was paid or not, God paid the debt. Does that make sense? So no more slavery. No more servitude. Oh, boy. See, God is, man, God's getting. There's some other things, too, that were in that year of Jubilee. What's the culmination of it all? Dan's got me self-conscious. He says I preach like this, and I just caught myself doing it, and I'm like, it's true. It's true. It's what he said is true. What's the culmination? Jesus was every feast. He is the one that saved us from slavery. He is the one that forgave our debts. He is the one that healed us. By his stripes we are healed. He is the one, Micah, that shed his blood. He is the Lamb of God that saved us from our sins. And now, because he is the first fruits of God, the firstborn among many brethren, we've got brothers now that have become Christ. You say, oh, you just blasphemed. You think what you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in dreams where these men of God, we're preaching together, we're casting out devils together, we're laying hands on the sick together, we're moving and grooving in the world of God. We're doing these things because of what God has done. What God has done. That dream I told you about, Simon and Philip, that Dan was with me in that dream. He was in John the Apostle. He was with me. Not just my brother in this life. In fact, that's the lowest level. Let's just be real. I'm not trying to be whatever. But that's low-level stuff. And trust me, that came with hardship, I promise you. And most of that was on me. But God's a good God, isn't he? But at the end of the day, we've been brothers since the beginning. And not just brothers, friends in God from ages ago. We're no spring chickens, man. Not anymore. Not in God, we're not, PK. What'd he say? What'd he always say to you? Older than dirt? It's true, bro. It's very true. Jesus is the culmination and embodiment of every bit of this. And out from his loins have come forth men and women of God. Some of you women are in the making of it. I'm just telling you, you got to believe who you are in God. If there's anything I could give you advice on, stop meddling with those dark thoughts and believe what God says you are. You can hinder yourself for a very long time meddling with dark thought. Don't let that serpent have his way. You believe what God's done. How many wants to become the living, breathing house of God, the embodiment of the Lord? You say, what, you looking for perfect? No. I'm not talking physical, guys, but even here, could you be known in a parable? Let's put it like this. James, where you at? My good friend. How many years, bro, were you the parable of disobedience and captivity? 8 years. You ain't counting all the dumb stuff you did before that when I first met you. Okay, just those 8 years. I got you. Because I was right there with you, bro, so I'm just trying to figure out how you only came up with 8 years. But anyway, when we were swinging golf clubs in the UPC, cussing up a storm because we couldn't hit a little tiny white ball. That's what I'm talking about. But now, bro, can God change that parable? Is he changing that parable? If you can be a parable of disobedience, can you become a parable of doing the will of God? And so everyone no longer knows you, Julie, as Mary Magdalene, full of seven devils. They begin to know you as Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast seven devils out of. And that's how you are in my world. Ain't no seven devils anymore. You hear me? So when you talk about what God's doing, are we here just to get a nice little sermon, or are we here to think about these eternities, Ernest? What are we here to talk about? We gonna let God bring us through these judgments? You ever hear these trumpets sounding? Because, boy, they'll get your attention. And know this. God's people are not appointed unto wrath. What are they appointed unto? Everlasting life, PK said. Y'all stand up with me. What time is it? 9:20? Man, I think I did awesome. I don't want to hear nobody say, man, you preach a long time. You better be glad we do. You might think, well, now I know the seven feasts a little better. And we just scratched the surface. What I hope you realize is to see the journey God has taken us through. We've been through some things together, haven't we? We could sit around and tell some war stories. But what I want you to take away from this tonight is one key thing. A couple of days ago, the word of the Lord came to me and he said, I have turned the captivity of my people. We are not in that captivity anymore. God has delivered us from our captivity. And we are not bound anymore by those things that were sown so long ago. And some of you right now, you still carry the pains and the hurts of some of those things that were sown. You listen to me. You leave this conference healed because that's the will of God. Those hurts and those pains. God spoke to me today. You tell my daughter, they're done. We're done with this. And you trust God and you learn to walk in that. Maybe a little minute to learn how to walk in some things, but I'm telling you, all that stuff's in your past now. You hear me? It's all in the past now. God's turning the captivity, and some of us are going to leave this conference changed. Some of us may be in shock a year from now when the revelation of the man of sin comes to bear. And you'll be like, well, wait a minute now. I got told we're free. Why is this coming up? You going to teach on some of that tomorrow? Tomorrow night. You'll find out when Brian teaches. How about that? Because you got to realize, just because God's revealing that, Tim, that's not God saying this is who and what you are. He's revealing that to you so you can overcome it and be free. So you got to enter into it in the right perception and let God just guide you right through. Amen? Amen. Any questions for me? Otherwise, we'll get out of here and wrap it up for our first night. All right, just know we love you. So happy to see all you guys. You're very blessed. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do for you guys this weekend. Amen.